Just here in probably 60 seconds, we got Natalie Carter, Executive Director of the Butte Environmental Council. We've got a whole bunch of kids here that have made puppets for the Endangered Species Fair. They're all in the house, and they're going to talk about that experience. We also have a really neat piece that Josh Indar put together. Josh is on the phone. Shout out Josh Indar. Give him a call, 895-0131. Make your pledge. Josh did a really cool piece. Maddie Gruber and Mackenzie Howlett, and they did a thing called Soldier to the Past. It was a thing that they did during spring break. They went down south, racial justice, social justice, and it was awesome. Then we have Bryce Goldstein, AmeriCorps volunteer, who's working for the city of Chico in the Sustainability Task Force. And then there's more. We have two wonderful musical guests, Sienna Kelly and Lucia. And they're not only going to be on our show, they're going to be on Beatle Nation that comes up after us. But with no further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Natalie Carter and the Endangered Species Puppets.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, yep, I'm Natalie Carter. I'm the Executive Director for Butte Environmental Council, and we are here tonight to talk about the Endangered Species Fair, which is coming up in, like, less than 2 days. It's on Saturday. It starts at 11, so we're getting real close. If you don't know, the Endangered Species Fair was originally created to recognize and celebrate Earth Day, and Beck hosted the first Endangered Species Fair back in 1980, with the theme Call of the Wild. But now we've had many, many years in between, and decades later, it's one of the biggest environmental fairs in Northern California. And one of the many wonderful things you can do at this event, including broadening your knowledge and appreciation for the natural world with activities and exhibits and presentations and live music. There's lots to do. This year we're celebrating the 38th annual Endangered Species Fair with the theme of urban habitats, celebrating all those things that city trees and parks and greenways do for endangered species. But one crowd favorite at the fair every year, and the main reason we are here today, is to talk about the Procession of the Species, a truly wonderful parade of endangered species puppets. And most of the puppets are made by local elementary school students who have been learning about endangered species and making their puppets for weeks. Local community members Susan and Steven Schutte, who host Ecotopia here on KZFR on Tuesday nights, visit about 400 students in the months leading up to the fair and prepare them for the procession. So it's a daunting task, and we are so fortunate to have them help us with it. So a little shout out to them for all of what they do to make this parade a reality. So here in the studio tonight, we have four puppeteers from Sherwood Montessori that are here with us. If you guys could share your names.
I'm Simone.
I'm Jaycee.
I'm Emiliano.
I'm Vivian.
Wonderful. And now if you guys could tell me, what animal did you guys make a puppet of for this year's fair?
I made a narwhal.
We made a small-toothed sawfish.
I made a red panda.
And so the two of you made one that you're carrying together, right?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things we do. We try to get some bigger puppets, and that's a fun thing that we can do. We can work as a team to do that stuff. So when they came to your class to talk about making puppets, maybe you could tell me, what did you learn about red pandas that made you want to make a red panda puppet?
Well, they're just really cute. And I know they're really popular for everybody.
Yeah, we want to keep them around. How about you guys? What made you guys want to make a small-toothed sawfish?
We learned a lot of interesting facts, and
they say that they can weigh more than 700 pounds.
That's a lot. And the narwhal?
I chose to do a narwhal because, well, I like the speckles on it. And I thought it would be really fun to do the speckles with the painting. Cool. And ever since I saw a third grader in my class do speckles on an alligator, I thought, ooh, that would be fun. So now I finally get to do it.
Well, good. I'm glad you got that goal. So what did you learn about endangered species? Can you tell me why endangered species are important?
Endangered species are important because they, if they go extinct, they won't come back. But if we help them, they may come back before they go extinct.
That's good. And maybe you guys could tell me, why are you excited about the parade? What's the most exciting thing, do you think, about this parade that's coming up on Saturday?
Walking it around and showing everybody what we made.
Like our small-toothed sawfish.
Getting to show off your sweet work, absolutely. What are you excited about?
I'm excited that I get to show everybody that the red panda is endangered. They probably already all know that, but we need to help the red panda, so I'm pretty excited to show that.
So I've got this question that I keep getting asked, and I know the answer, but maybe Vivian, you could tell us. What are those puppets made out of?
They're made out of... So the first step is paper, and then newspaper, and masking tape. And then the second step is paper mache, and then the third step is painting.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're mostly newspaper, which I think is pretty cool, because we've got a lot of extra newspaper lying around the town. And... Emiliano, what was your favorite part of the puppet making?
Painting.
Yeah? Painting it? I like that part, too. And shaping it, too. Okay, so I think those are the questions I really wanted to ask you guys. Is there anything in particular that you want to share and tell people about the fair this coming Saturday and to come see you at 11:30?
Not really. I'm just really excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited too. I have to be honest. The Endangered Species Fair is my absolute favorite thing that Beck does, because I remember going to the fair back when I was a kid, and now I get to bring my daughter, and it's just one thing that I absolutely love about this group and this whole event. That is a lot of fun. Oh, that's a great suggestion from the radio audience here. Do you guys know that we have a live animal show at the Endangered Species Fair?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, you've been there before. It's pretty cool. Did you see it last year?
Yes.
So, Simone, what do you remember seeing at the wild of the live animals last year?
There's a skunk named Daisy and a really big alligator. Cool. And a monkey where you invite someone from the audience and... He pushes on you, and you get to feed him a banana.
Oh, that's fun. Daisy's a pretty funny name for a skunk, huh? Because daisies smell good normally, and skunks not so much. Have you been to the fair before, Vivian?
Yeah, I've been to the fair before. I don't know how many times. It's really fun.
Yeah. Do you like the wild animal show?
Yeah.
What was your favorite wild animal last year?
I think it was the skunk.
Cool. Daisy. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay. And Emiliano or Julio, either one of you have an animal you want to share from last year? I know one of you said you'd been there.
We did a hammerhead shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, you guys, I am so glad you came in today to talk about the fair and the procession of the species, and I can't wait to see you guys in that huge parade on Saturday morning at 11:30 in the 1 mile picnic area. You're going to parade through the whole entire event and then up to the front of the stage, and I hear you're going to sing a song when you get up to the front, the whole group of you, which is awesome and wonderful to see and hear. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there, and I'm looking forward to seeing all the radio listeners there and a whole bunch more people also. So thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Call 895-0131. Support People Power Radio. Going to go to an underwriter. And you guys stick around. We're going to get some pictures of you guys, okay, with your puppets. Because I know our listeners want to see those puppets and your faces. So hang around on People Power Radio.
One thing I wanted to show
contributions of KZIP Arts supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheArts.org. We're also made possible this half hour by Chico Hearing Aid, changing lives through better hearing since 1949. Chico Hearing Aid Center is devoted to providing the best hearing possible with a Try Before You Buy program and state-of-the-art hearing aids. Chico Hearing Aid provides hearing evaluations at no cost by calling 342-8132.
Thank you.
We're still saying thank you to the puppeteers as they head on out the door. And as we always do, man, my friend Mark Alexander's here in the studio, and he's going to give us some in-studio commentary on what we just heard. Mark, what we got?
Well, I got to say, this piece really makes me nostalgic. I was thinking the whole time about back when I was a kid, Like my favorite projects in school had to be animal projects, projects related to animals, you know, researching them and finding out about them. I remember even my favorite books to read. My sister had a whole bunch of like animal books, like books on aquatic animals and other animals in the animal kingdom. And there's just so much fun to learn about because they're so interesting and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long's it been since you've been a kid? So maybe they can do the math.
So, I don't know about.
What are you feeling?
I'm talking about like before I was even like a teenager, so okay. More than 10 years.
More than 10 years, man. All right. You're
up. Yeah. But it's really cool, and especially since it's for a great cause and, you know, teaching kids the importance of these lessons, and they're also having fun doing it. And if you could see these puppets, they're pretty incredible. Like, not even like the idea of like, you know, if this were, you know, made by, you know, for kids, this is really good. These are just really amazing little pieces of art.
Yeah, they are. And they're so, they were so proud just kind of showing the showing me, the host, their puppets. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Out in the green room. It was really cool.
It's really cool. One of the things that was interesting is the lady mentioned about how the endangered species, the day that they're celebrating that was intended to celebrate Earth Day. It kind of confused me, though, because it's like, then we already have Earth Day. How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to find this out, huh?
Yeah. Although, I actually made me think it'd be really cool, because I've always thought that Earth Day should be more like Earth Week.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool if we could have, like, individual days of the week be, like, themed. Like, we could have Endangered Species Day of Earth Week. Like, that'd be really neat.
Or maybe we could do it a month, and then Youth for Justice next year, we could do one piece a month, you know, or something. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a monthly show, so that wouldn't work, so, but we'll do something. What else you got, man?
That's all I had.
All right, Mark. Mark Alexander, well, thanks.
I specifically just think it's really interesting, cool to see kids working on projects like these and working towards these things. You know, and holding on to these sort of, I'm trying to find a way to phrase
it. Like special memories, special, you know, like Natalie said, these are the things that she remembers making puppets as a school kid, and then she's now kind of, quote unquote, the driving force for that.
I never made anything that cool when I was a kid.
There you go. All right, Mark Alexander. All right, speaking of making an impression on youth, this is the Josh Indoor piece with Maddie and Mackenzie, and they're both Chico Inspire students, and they went on this thing called Sojourn to the Past, and you're going to learn all about that here on People Powered Radio, 895-0131. Trained, skilled operators stand by. Matter of fact, you could actually talk on the phone, and Josh Indar, the person that did this interview, will take your pledge here at 895-0131.
My name is Mackenzie Zevley Howlett, and I go to Inspire School of Arts and Sciences.
Cool. And so you guys just did this trip to the South, and it was called Sojourn?
Yes, Sojourn to the Past.
Sojourn to the Past. Tell me all about it.
So it took place between March 31st and April 6th, and we retraced the Civil Rights Movement by going to Atlanta, Selma, Montgomery, Birmingham, and Memphis. And we met, like, two of the women were from the Little Rock Nine, and Minnie Jean Brown, who was in the Little Rock Nine, was with us the whole trip.
Let's see. We met Sarah Collins, who was the fifth girl that was in the 16th Street bombing, but she didn't die, which is why she usually
blind.
Yeah, she was blinded, and she lost her sister down there too.
We met the sister of one of the four, Lisa McNair, who didn't get to meet her sister. She was born after she died, but
I think there was 16 of us.
There's 16 from Inspire, and then 144 kids total from
all over from Ohio, lots of schools in the Bay, three or four schools in the Bay, and then one school from Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on the trip, we got these huge binders full of information.
Yeah.
And they on the front page was the
six principles of nonviolence.
That was kind of the theme of the whole trip, and we carried that
with us the entire time. Whenever we talked about anything, of how to handle situations, how, you know, Dr. King handled situations, how Megar Ever handled situations, how they use the principles of nonviolence to truly, get what they wanted.
One of the most important ones for me was nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding.
Yeah, definitely.
With everyone, and I saw that one as the most important one for a lot of the situations that take place.
I don't know, I think that we talk a lot about nonviolence, but not a lot of people understand truly what that means. It means that, even in the face of aggression, you or yourself are not aggressive. Jimmie Lee Jackson, his grandfather was being beaten by police, and his mother was being beaten by police. Instead of fighting them, which would be most people's natural action, I know that it would probably be mine, he stood in front of his mother and grandfather and was shot and killed, but he never fought back physically. But because of that, his death proved and made everyone else in the situation who had shot him look bad instead of himself. Because if he had fought back, it just would have been twisted. But it wasn't because he didn't.
Yeah, his death signified
that what people are willing to die.
Willing to die for, and what the system was doing to people
who were willing to die for civil rights.
They wanted to carry his body to the Capitol steps
and put it on Governor Wallace's steps, and to show him, look what you did.
The 55-mile walk, a march, was, there were three attempts, and the first one resulted in Bloody Sunday on Selma, the Edmund Pettus Bridge,
and then Turnaround Tuesday, which is where Dr. King called clergy people from all over the country to come and to pray on the Edmund Pettus Bridge to signify that this is a peaceful march given from God, because the civil rights movement was religious, and even though everyone in the movement wasn't religious, it was a lot based in religion, and so all these clergymen kneeled and prayed, and then they walked back to the church, and then on the following, was it Wednesday?
Yes,
on the following Wednesday, they began the watch, the march.
And it was run by the SCLC, so it was very religious, because it was just
the Southern Christian Leadership Council.
How far did they get as far as how bad the conditions were for blacks in the South at the time?
We saw the autopsy pictures of the four little girls that were bombed. It was gruesome. There was one girl and her entire top of her body was gone. There was nothing left, and she was 11 years old. They don't hide anything from you.
And
they shouldn't. It's what happened. It's history. Yeah. If you hide it, then it's the same reason that Emmett Till's mother decided to not have his face all sewn up and fixed or have a closed. She wanted people to see what they had done to her son, what they had done to his body. And because of that, actually, is the reason that Rosa Parks stayed on the bus, that the reason she didn't get off was because she saw the pictures of Emmett Till. And she said that that was enough. Enough was enough, that was the moment where she decided that she wasn't just going to sit idly by anymore. And everyone, that's one of the first things you learn about civil rights as a little kid is Rosa Parks. And because of Emmett Till's mother refusing to let her son, die in vain and have his, life mean nothing and be buried, in the Mississippi Delta, she showed everyone what they did to him.
Did people in the North not really understand or not know what to do, or
I think that that's kind of what happened with Emmett Till. Is Emmett Till was from Chicago and he had never been to the South before, and he went and visited his uncle in the Mississippi, in some town in Mississippi, and he supposedly said "Hey, baby," when he walked away from a white girl. Actually, it turns out a couple years ago that the woman came out and said that he actually never said anything to her. And because of that, they lynched him. And he just, he didn't grow up there. And it's not like people in the North, there was no racism there. That's not something that happened. Of course, there's racism in the North. There's racism throughout the country.
It wasn't so extreme, and the KKK wasn't so concentrated anywhere else.
Definitely.
Well, and wasn't it a lot of that was codified into state law in all of the
Confederate
states.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you still go down there. When we were down there, we saw Confederate flags. We saw Confederate statues. We saw, I mean, it's still rooted in there. It doesn't, it's not gone. I mean, as much as we'd like to believe that it was never there.
The march, they wanted to march. I'm talking about the Selma to Montgomery march. They wanted to march and have it be such a long march so it could be televised and put in newspapers and...
So the people
publicized.
Yeah, publicized.
They wanted actually JFK to march with them. Like that's something that they wanted. Like they went to him and they were like, "You need to be here. You need to make this happen. Your face needs to be here because you can't sit idly by anymore." Obviously, that didn't happen. But you know, they wanted to make an impact. They had to. Enough was enough.
What was the most sort of shocking, eye opening thing that you saw there?
I think
what had the biggest impact.
For me, there's two things that definitely, like, made me, like, really think about it. It's, like, the poverty that's still down there in the African-American community, like, especially in Selma. Yeah, like, there were houses that had no roofs that people were living in. And I think that was something that really shook me, was, like, that. And also a lot of the social segregation that's still down there. Like, you can tell, like, still, especially when you're really deep there, like, you can tell, like, where people who are African-American live and where, like, the people who are white live. And it's just, like, the only houses that are, like, built and nice and actually have, like, roofs and doors and, like, not patches and not tarps over them are, like, the houses that are government-funded. When we were in the museum in Memphis, the Lorraine Hotel Museum, which is where Dr. King was shot.
It was the National Civil Rights Museum.
Yes, National Civil Rights Museum. They had a real Ku Klux Klan, like, outfit, like a rope like hanging and like that. I like just stopped. I like seeing pictures of people dressed like that is scary. I mean, just like imagining like someone having that much hate to like murder people for like something that they can't change, and like seeing one in real life is just, like scary. It's like I wouldn't like it. Just was like the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like seeing the poverty that took place and. It wasn't the first time I'd been to the South, so I kind of expected it, but going to Selma, where I did not expect it, like, it looked like the pictures, nothing changed.
It was like
at
a time capsule.
The thing that really hit me the most was when I went to the National Civil Rights Museum, and I saw the place where MLK got shot, and I saw the window where the shot was fired from, and I didn't leave that room for a solid 15 minutes, and I just broke down, because I don't even...
Yeah.
It's a different feeling in that room. There's a patch of cement that they had to remove where his head fell because they couldn't get the blood off.
And they tore the rest of the hotel out. All of it is like, it's not a hotel anymore.
It's a museum.
Except for the room where Dr. King usually stayed and the room where he was staying when he died. And it is like, it's not obviously exactly like it because they did take his belongings and that kind of stuff, but they set it up exactly how he left it. And it's just, like, walking, like, back in time. Like, and you just stand there and you, like, see. And so, like, being there and seeing that and, like, it's, just, like, I mean, breathtaking.
It was a feeling I've never felt before. And on that trip, I felt emotions really deep and on all different levels. Like, it was an experience.
Did it put a little twist on it going there in the Trump era where... That administration would love to roll back civil rights, and the Voting Rights Act is under attack. Did that figure into your thoughts at all?
Yeah. Minnie Jean Brown Trickey, who's amazing. You all should know about her. She's lovely, and hilarious, and smart. When she gave her speech, she was like, children made a president act, and you can do it again, is basically what she was telling us, is that like we made him act. Like the Little Rock Nine...
Kids make presidents act.
Like, the Children's March made the president act. Little Rock Nine made the president act. It makes people, like, when children are involved, you can't help but not have sympathy. I mean, like, they're children. It's that kind of... People are not born racist. Like, they are taught to be racist. They are taught, you know, that's something that you teach someone. There was a child, I mean, I guess...
He was, like, 16.
16. No, not a child. Yeah. But it was, like, part of a children's march, which is why he said child. But he, a white cop came up to him, and he was like, you need to leave. You're not as good at us. You don't have the same rights as us. You never will. And he's like, so if I have a quarter and you have a quarter, are you saying that my quarter is less than yours? And the cop just like didn't know how to respond to that, because instead of the kid being like, "You're wrong, I do this," da-da-da, he just looked at him and he just was like, "Why?" And he just, the cop was, what did he say? He was like, "I don't want your quarter. I want my quarter." And it's just like, and made him kind of sound like an idiot. Like,
and he asked if he could pray with him,
and the cop was like, "I don't want to pray with you. Like, yeah. Your God's not my God." He's like, "But that he is. Like, we're both Christian. Like, it just, we just go to different churches," because churches were segregated, obviously. But so,
is it discouraging to you guys at all just to see that we make this progress and then it gets clawed back and then we have to fight a little bit more?
Yeah, I think that it sucks. I mean, it sucks to see,
it's
like,
hard, but it's not discouraging.
It's not, yeah, it's just like, it makes me want to work harder. I think that it's hard to see, like, people who died and gave their lives for this, and then to, I mean, have elected, in my opinion, have elected someone like Trump. I mean, his father was in the Klan. Like, that's like kind of the bottom line of the situation. Phil Oaks wrote a song about him and has a verse in there, and it's just like, it's hard because, I mean, MLK gave his life and like left his children. Medgar Evers gave his life and left his children. I mean, Malcolm X gave his life and lost his thing, like gave up his children and his wife, and
all for,
or, I mean, and it's not in vain. It's not in vain. No, but I mean, it's hard to see someone like that sitting in our White House. But I think that just makes me, you know, want to move, want to do movement. Let's go, like, yeah. Rally up.
Yeah,
resist. You gotta fight back.
We've seen it happen before. It's like, we know the tools to use, and
I mean,
we know the power that.
Yeah, when Nixon was in the office, when Reagan was in the office, it's not like there was no movement. There was a movement, and I think that there's a movement now. There's definitely a movement going on now.
Yeah.
All right, give it up for that piece. Got Josh Indar in the house. Who did that music? It was Maddie, right?
That's Maddie Gruber. Yeah,
that's awesome. And what album is that off?
I think it's called QED. It's her newest album, and it's on Bandcamp. If you want to try to find it, her handle is MADD. I think.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Maddie. Thanks, Mackenzie. So, you know, I guess I'll start with you, Mark. Mark, our in-studio commentator, man. What do you got from that piece, Mark?
I just got to say that Josh's interviews are always awesome to listen to.
Thank you.
And where do you find these people and just talk to them? Because I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with these people.
In the punk rock music scene, man. That's where all the cool people are.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, I guess I'll start by saying that it's... one of the cool things I heard, coolest lines I heard in that whole piece was talking about how, you know, racism is not something you're born with.
Yeah.
And it's something that's taught. And I think that's kind of relevant, seeing as how we've already, you know, been talking about children and our lives as children. And it's really cool to see, I mean, it's It's interesting that, you know, sometimes us adults kind of forget, like, these basic moral virtues that we just forget, like taking care of animals, taking care of ourselves. And there's so many topics to be talked about in that piece, really. I got stuff about the Confederate monuments being taken down. That's recently a big hot topic.
In New Orleans, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of controversy around that.
Why? They lost.
One of my friends online was talking about it. You know,
they're traitors and they lost. That stuff needs to come down right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
And, you know, there's... I gotta say though, from my personal experience, I've encountered. There's a lot of people out there who live out here and think, you know, racism isn't real. But I think that's more because it's just politically incorrect, and it absolutely is politically incorrect. Which is a word that gets thrown around a lot to the point where I don't think it has it. Like, it's kind of lost its definition. But in this case, I think it's correct that. Racism does still happen. It's just not correct to be open about it. It's like closet racism. Like, it's not out in the open, obviously, because that would affect people negatively if they were openly racist.
As it should.
But in the places where they can get away with it, it still happens. I spent a year in an isolated town in Arizona where racism was very open, and that's because it was taught and they could get away with it. And it wasn't even to African Americans. It was actually to the Native Americans who lived in a reservation nearby, who went to school in the same schools. Mm-hmm. And the children were awful to those people. They were just sitting in class, and somehow the topic of China came up, and a kid was like, "I hate Chinese people," like, just out loud. Like, I'm not a kid, but a middle schooler. Like, this is an actual, you know, thing. I mean, she said it again twice, like, in the same day. It was crazy living there, and and it's really horrible.
What town was that?
I don't like to talk about it.
Oh, okay. It's like somewhere in Arizona.
Arizona. I don't like to get into specifics.
Yeah.
It was also kind of a religious cult town, and I don't like to specify which religion, because I don't want to get some angry people out there thinking I'm accusing their religion of being evil or anything.
What do you got, Josh? How cool was it interviewing them too? Yeah.
Well, they're just two of the coolest young women I know, and I found myself, I was a little bit, envious that I didn't get to take a trip like that when I was that age, and I really think that every school in America should do it. I mean, we don't know our own history in this country, and that's one of the reasons why people are so ignorant, why there's still so much racism and so much divisiveness in this country, is that we just refuse to reckon with our own horrible history. And it's not like, you know, I know it could be an emotional thing, but it really happened, and it's still happening, and it's still here with us. So I think it's really cool that Inspire takes these kids to go on this trip, and that they get to experience that, and they come back and know a little bit more about the world we live in.
All right, guys, thanks for adding some commentary on that. And we're going to transition to another punk rocker. All the cool people are in the punk rock scene, Mark.
So you heard.
We took Mark to Monstro's Pizza once. We did a road trip for Youth for Justice.
Yeah.
It's a fun story to tell on the radio, because I told Mark, I said, we're going to West Sacramento. And Mark goes, okay. Isn't that a little far? And I literally, like, no, West Sacramento. Monstro's is on West Sacramento.
Oh, but,
but anyway, no further ado. But Bryce Goldstein, she's with AmeriCorps, and she's a local punk rocker. And listen up here on People Power Radio. And if you're so moved with the programming and the wonderful voices that you're hearing, 895-0131. Matter of fact, Josh is going to be getting up right now and going to be taking your call, we hope.
I would love it if someone would call me.
Call Josh.
Please call 895-0131 and give your pledge. This station is so worth it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. All right, Guillermo Mash here for the Youth for Justice program. My pleasure to have this interview here with Bryce Goldstein. Bryce Goldstein is an AmeriCorps volunteer who is on assignment at the city of Chico, working with the Sustainability Task Force. And she's a vibrant member of the Chico area punks music scene. Welcome to KZFR, Bryce Goldstein.
Thank you.
Please share a little bit more about Bryce Goldstein with our listeners, Bryce.
Well, I grew up in Reading, and then I went to Humboldt State University for 3 years after going to Shasta College in Reading. So I actually did some student radio at Humboldt State. I was part of KRFH, 105.1 FM, and that was the student radio. I only was there for a semester in the radio station, but I listened to it throughout my whole time, so I love community radio. And that was fun. I also was involved in the music scene there, and then a lot of my friends from high school moved to Chico, so that's kind of how I got involved with the music scene around here, and it also encouraged me to look for jobs here. And when I was applying for my AmeriCorps program, Civic Spark, I saw an opportunity in Chico, and I said I was interested in it, and I ended up getting the position, and I started here in October.
All right, Bryce, why don't you tell those listeners a little bit about AmeriCorps, you, how that's affiliated or not with the Peace Corps?
Okay, so I'm not super familiar with the Peace Corps, but people often kind of use them as points of reference for each other, because the Peace Corps is a program where a lot of recent college graduates go overseas and they do service in communities there, and AmeriCorps is like that, but it's domestic. Like, AmeriCorps members get placed in communities and they do service such as disaster relief, or I'm working on climate change resilience. And there's also other programs like working on building affordable housing. There's so many different AmeriCorps programs. Mine's called Civic Spark, and it's dedicated to building capacity for local governments to address climate change and water management issues in California.
Maybe you could explain for our listeners what this job activity entails, Bryce Goldstein.
So it entails a lot of things. The main project that I'm working on was originally kind of titled tentatively the Chico Community Sustainability Challenge. And then we spent a while brainstorming ways that we could engage the community in climate action and saving energy. So we came up with this idea to make a program called the Million Watt Challenge. And I can talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And that's just one of the programs that I'm working on. I'm also promoting alternative transportation, alternative to driving, such as bicycling, using the bus, and part of that is promoting the National Bike Challenge and Bike Month, which we've just entered. May is Bike Month. And I'm also helping coordinate some events, such as the Sustainable Business Expo at Sierra Nevada Brewery this month.
So when you mentioned that we were working on a new name, who was involved in that? AmeriCorps only, or the group of people you're working with here in Chico? Maybe expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so the main work that I do is with the Sustainability Task Force, which is a city council-appointed group of people in the community who work on implementing the climate action plan for the city of Chico. The current one goes through 2020, and it's basically like a general plan, but smaller, and it lists actions that the community and the city need to take in order to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and save energy and also improve the community, and it flows right into the general plan. So I also work with other community members and nonprofits like Butte Environmental Council, as well as private industry like Sierra Nevada Brewery. And so when I say we, I usually mean kind of all of those organizations.
I know about a couple of weeks ago when we were first looking at doing this interview, you had expressed, in my terms, a little bit of the frustration how a lot of times people don't feel as if, quote unquote, the city of Chico is doing enough about sustainability. Maybe you could help educate our listeners on that and expand on that.
Especially during the recession, the city was really underfunded, so it was really hard at the same time that they're making the climate action plan for them to actually have people on the ground to implement it. And so Civic Spark is pretty great because people like me who are looking for ways to serve their community and gain work experience can help and be that on the ground person, because I don't have a specified role as, say, a city planner or an engineer. I can do what needs to be done without also having these obligations like updating the general plan or other things. Like, my supervisor, Brendan, he's the principal planner at the city of Chico, and he's so busy with his planning role that it's hard for people in that type of role to work on something new like climate action. That, I think, is part of the reason why a lot of people see local government as kind of like they're not doing anything. It's because they don't have the positions and the people, the staff on the ground to implement things.
Yeah, why don't we take a minute or so and talk a little bit about some of the things that you're implementing, Bryce Goldstein. And for folks that are just joining, we are interviewing Bryce Goldstein, who is an AmeriCorps volunteer working with the city on the Chico Sustainability Task Force.
Okay, so the Million Watt Challenge is kind of like our overall term for our energy saving programs, but the main goal here is that we're going to replace a million watts of inefficient technology such as incandescent light bulbs, old appliances, and more. And the city of Chico has actually done a lot already. We've replaced 5,000 streetlights with LEDs, and so that's saved a significant chunk of energy and replaced a significant part of the million watts. And then also businesses like Sierra Nevada Brewery have also installed a lot of efficient LED lights and technologies. So we're asking the community to take a step with us to try to get to a million. And some ways you can do that are if you visit our website, it's chicosustainability.org. We have a whole section on the Million Watt Challenge, and it has information about how to save energy and money in your household or business. And also there's a form, it's like a survey where you can tell, basically I'll see the results of if you enter how many LED light bulbs you installed. So if you take the survey, you can tell us how many LED light bulbs you installed, how many efficient appliances, and also give us a little bit of background information, because we're really curious to know what areas of town people are the most focused on energy efficiency in, or do renters tend to replace their appliances or light bulbs, or is it homeowners? Things like that. And I'm the one who's tracking the surveys. They're just for our knowledge so that we can serve the community better. And another way you can participate is you can visit me at the Million Watt Challenge booth. I'm at every Thursday night market, and I have a little booth. It's actually right by the KZFR office. Yeah, it's on Broadway between 3rd and 4th. And you can come by. We always have some kind of cool prizes for you to win, whether it's like a contest where you tell us how you save energy, or a prize wheel. You can get free LED lights, candy, fun things like that.
I want a free LED light.
Yeah.
I told Bryce, I said, I want to spin this and win an LED light. And I closed my eyes and I opened it up as it spun and I got an LED light.
So yeah. LEDs are great. They're 80% more efficient than incandescent bulbs.
Maybe one quick question. Do you happen to have a ballpark on how far along we are on the million watt?
Yeah. I would say we're over halfway.
Over halfway? Half a million.
Yeah.
Half a million watts.
Yeah. Now, a lot of these things were already being done as we implemented the challenge, such as what the city was doing. So now the rest of the way we need the community to do.
Anything you'd like to wrap up on before we touch upon these two? We've got two great punk songs we're going to play. Great band. Nihilist, correct?
Right? Yeah.
Nihilist? Anything you want to wrap up on or touch upon?
Okay, yes. The city of Chico was recently recognized by the League of American Bicyclists as a gold-level bike-friendly city. So there's a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Friday, May 19th at 3:30 at the north entrance to 1 Mile to celebrate that installation of signage. So I'm planning to go to that. That should be fun. You should also check out the National Bike Challenge, because that's very cool. You can sign up and compete against your friends or coworkers. Like, City of Chico has a team. We're going to compete against Sierra Nevada Brewery to ride the most bike miles from May through September. We have some home energy efficiency workshops coming up in the Chapman, Barber, and Avenues neighborhoods. So keep an eye out for those. And you might check out our Facebook or website to stay updated.
All right, Bryce Goldstein, thanks so much for coming on. So we're going to be playing, as we transition to our next guest, we're going to be playing a couple of songs that you did with Bill Nihilist. The first one's People Landfill, and the other one we're going to play is The Bad Denny. Bad Denny's or Bad Denny?
Bad Denny's.
I thought it was Bad Denny's, yeah. What's up with these songs, and thanks for coming on Keep Your Fun.
So these songs are actually both inspired by organic waste, like food waste. People Landfill, I just kind of came up with it when I toured the Neal Road Landfill as part of my job. And the Bad Denny's is also, it's a joke about in Reading, there's two Denny's diners across the highway from each other, and there's always a constant argument about which one's the good one and which one's the bad one.
Bryce Goldstein, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I know I'll see you again sometime soon, I hope, in the live punk music scene.
Cool, thank you.
right, man. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Bryce Goldstein, Bill Nihilist. You can catch Bryce. She's out there right now, actually, on the street, right outside the KCFR studios for our Thursday night market. And let me just do a quick shout-out, man, for the punk scene, because Alex Shannon usually is a co-host, and she's actually the first show of a band called Splatter Party. And Johnny Meehan. I know you, John. I know you know Johnny, right, Mark? Mark? Johnny,
yeah.
Johnny's birthday is today, and he's doing a punk show with Mitchell and Embers, kind of like a country rock kind of group.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's over at Monstros. It starts at 8 o'clock. But what'd you think about that piece, Mark? Give us like your one-minute synopsis, man. Mark,
I liked it. I mean, I'm huge into sustainability just as a general concept. You know, like, we don't have unlimited resources in terms of our planet and all that. You know, we can't just keep consuming and not be aware of it. But I think, like, thinking in that big picture can scare some people sometimes. Yeah. It's like the whole big picture of climate change and environmentalism. But I think it doesn't have to be like this huge undertaking. You know, if you just, you know, do these little things, like she was talking about changing your light bulbs and going for more energy, you know, efficient, you know, resources and tools and just recycling and stuff like that. If every person just pitched in a little bit, wouldn't be that big of a problem. I think, you know, if the best thing you can do is just kind of take it one step at a time and think of what you can change, what little things you can change right now, and then maybe eventually we can work on big projects that can really change the setting.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Shifted over Lucia. The first time I met Lucia was at, could you guess, a punk rock show at Monstros. Lucia, welcome to KZFR. Now, Lucia's got some bass strings on a uke, and I can't wait to hear this live. But you've got this zine thing going on. Maybe give us 60 seconds on what's going on with your zine project.
Yeah, trying to get a collection of local work and hopefully putting it into a somewhere we can all look at it. Yeah. So that would be great.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, so putting that together.
Yeah, we can't wait to get you on. We're gonna have you front and center on Youth for Justice when that goes off, or one of the programs, because I think it's a wonderful thing.
Summertime.
What do you got? So we're gonna hear from Lucia, and both Lucia and Santa Kelly are in the house. They're gonna be actually playing songs on Beatle Nation, so they're gonna be on two radio shows tonight, not one, not two. So people that are listening, hang in there for Beatle Nation, because you're gonna hear these wonderful young artists. So what do we got, Lucia? Let's give it up for Lucia.
All right, this is a song, not about the whole month of April, but let's try it out. Today we cheers the man who took his own life. You celebrate he lived while I celebrate he died. You see the town is burning to see his plan come true. But if you're better than I am, think who overpowers you. Don't you wonder how they'll act when they see what you have done to those you feel you have risen above. They say no one is perfect, but you think you're owed that place. At the expense of all of us, you ignore your own shame. They say to each their own, but you jump to the gun to push a life you wish to require of everyone. Can't you see the joy in having many stories to tell? In the chords made of many voices, or only in damning us all down? Well, here's an update to your false authority. My life ain't up to you if it isn't up to me. If forced to pick the life you wish for me or the company of death, remember a third option. May it rest on your heads.
That was awesome. That sounds so cool. I could listen to a uke like that. Yeah, that was. What do you think, Mark? What do you think of that, man?
It was different.
In a good way.
Yeah, I was trying to find like the best way to describe it. It was awesome, but I'm trying to think of just like a very unique word to describe it. It was very unique.
That's awesome. So you got one more song you're going to do in Beatle Nation, right?
Yeah.
All right, Lucia. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Me too.
And Lucia just got, you know, she thought she might have had to been playing in a cast, so she just got a cast off. I mean, so give it up. All right, I'm going to play an underwriter, and then we're going to swing the mics over to Sienna Kelly here on People Power Radio. Youth for Justice, made possible by generous contributions, including folks tiling 895-0131 right now for a KZFR Spring Pledge Drive. And by Vladimir and Ken Cole, a criminal defense firm in association with Kevin Sears, fighting for your rights since 1977. Been arrested or accused of a crime? Consider this dedicated, experienced team of legal experts completely dedicated to your case. Vladimir and Kenkel can be reached at 345-1396 and VladimirKenkel.com. The law office of Kevin Sears is 345-0885 and ChicoCriminalLawyer.com. Ciabil Espanol, also made possible by Urban Design Solar, a local solar contractor. Tired of phone calls from the big box solar companies? Urban Design Solar can show you how a local company can provide answers to your solar questions at 809-1079. Urban Design Solar specializes in residential, commercial, and agricultural solar services. For no-cost estimate and energy analysis, you can reach Urban Design Solar by calling 809-1079. All right, man, we're back live in the studio, and it's always a joy having Sienna Kelly in the house. Welcome to us back to KZFR, Sienna Kelly.
Thank you very much.
Man, I want to start with the fact that you are playing at the Endangered Species Fair.
I am.
I'm
very excited for that. I'm going to be filling in a 30-minute slot from, I believe, 2 to 2:30.
Nice.
So y'all should come and check it out if you guys have a while to spare.
I'll be at the KZFR booth, actually, from 2 to 4. So that's usually pretty close to the stage, so I'm going to be right there.
Well, front I hope row. To see you there.
Front row seats. 895-0131. You know, we're doing our pledge drive. Spring pledge drive. Sometimes that sounds like a tongue twister, but what do we got for us, Sienna Kelly? What do you got here for
today? I am playing Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles. Which
okay.
Is one
so
of
you got another Beatles song for Beatle Nation? Oh, you got two Beatles songs. That's awesome.
Oh, wait, no. Do you want me to save my Beatles song?
Yeah, you got to save your Beatles song for Beatle Nation.
You told me to have a Beatles song.
So yeah. That's because you're going to be on two shows.
If you want to hear it.
Yeah. We needed two songs, one for here and one for...
Okay, got it.
Thanks, Sienna. Thank you. People Powered Radio.
Got this, we've got out this way. That we can't deny. At night I think about all the nasty things you've said. Inside I'm freaking out. I wish I could give in. I wish I could give up, just run away and hide. I know it wouldn't work, 'cause I cannot deny that you've got that, you've got that jazz, and you've got that gold shoulder. And we've got this, we've got this swing that we can't deny, can't deny.
Very nice, man. Let's give it up. Give it up in the studio for Sienna Kelly. And it's really cool seeing both of you here, because Mark and Sienna are both interns at Youth for Justice, a program that I helped manage out of the Peace and Justice Center for about a year and a half. And Mark was an intern there for like 6-8 months, so we kind of moved it into the public space, so to speak, became a radio show, and it's just wonderful having you guys on.
It's good to be on.
Yeah, open invitation to you, Sienna Kelly. And this is our spring pledge drive, man. We're in the last minute here of Youth for Justice. But you are so blessed, because it's Pledge Drive. You're going to get to hear both of these wonderful artists again. They're going to do two Beatles songs, one by Sienna, and then one by Lucia, to start the Beatle Nation show. But give it up for our phone folks, man. Josh Indar is out there, Buchanan Officer Ed, and he's a co-host here on Youth for Justice. And you heard that wonderful piece he did by Mackenzie and Maddie Gruber. And if you got nothing going on here, I know I'm heading over there. If you want to meet me and see what I look like, I'm going to Monstrous Pizza for their punk show. You know, we're giving you a little bit of the punk genre. In fact, Alex Shannon, who actually co-hosts, is a big week for her, because tomorrow at the Maltese, she's having an EP release for her another band she's in called the Vesuvians. Been around Chico long enough, man. Everyone's in at least two bands, right? It seems. Josh Indar's in five. He was telling me he's in five bands when he's coming up here. But that's for another show. So what do we got? We're going to sling it over to Beatle Nation. So we're going to go over to you, Sienna Kelly. You got Eleanor Rigby, right?
Yes, I do.
All right, here on People Power Radio.